Welcome to a new episode of the A Spanner in the Works podcast.
Lynn, welcome to the show. Really appreciate your time. You are moderating a session with the CEO of NBN, Stephen Rue, I believe. And then
right,
we connected.
Yes.
Tell the listeners a little bit about Lynn Wood and what drives you. And then we talk about more about the ideaspies.com website, which is a very interesting and exciting topic.
Oh, well, thank you very much, Andreas, for your interest. In terms of Lynn Wood, I am a passionate supporter of innovation. I always have been. I love ideas. Started off my career in marketing, being a marketing director. Director with Amex, and I've been a marketing director in a few organizations. Then learned finance, so ended up going into board positions that were related to my marketing and finance background. That was both with organizations, private and listed organizations, and also with the government. So what I'm doing now with IdeaSpies is going back to my original marketing career and all about expressing ideas, which really interest me.
We also had a bit of a conversation. You just published a really good article about good news. Can you just elaborate a little bit? Because I think IdeaSpies is a bit more than just innovation. I don't mean this in a negative sense. There's quite some research you've done in terms of why we seem to be so attracted to bad news and why our news sites are so full of bad news all the time, right? It has a bit of to do with the evolution of the Homo sapiens. And would you agree that IdeaSpies is a bit more than just an innovation-specific site?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's been a delight to actually be developing it. But when I started it, it was in 2016, a little bit earlier. I was actually with a friend in Vancouver, in Canada, on a tour. And a guide said, promote what you love rather than bash what you hate. And thought about it. And I thought, wouldn't it be wonderful to have a platform that showcases all the clever ideas happening around the world? Because there are so many, and they're really not getting the attention they deserve, because a lot of the press at that time, and still is, was very negative about the outlook. We thought about how would we develop this platform? What's the concept? First thought, well, we need a name for it, and sat in a hotel room and thought, it's got to have idea in the name. And we went through lots of other examples, like spotters, idea spotters, and then came up with spies, idea spies. And I thought, oh, that sounds good. And we're very surprised because we thought we need to get it on .com. So we got it on .com and started a Facebook site. And it was pretty easy to look at the logo because the logo was the emoji, the eyes emoji, to go with Idea Spies. And at that time, we didn't realize how popular the name Spies would become, because that was all before the Russian spies, which have since become very topical, even though I'd seen programs on them before, but which were quite fascinating. And so it's just developed since then. Now, when you're developing anything in the innovation world, as you would very well know, Andres, with your involvement there, everyone says, what problem are you solving? And so, oh, we're solving the problem of negative news. Now, this is 2016, and people would just look at me and say, what are you doing? Problems, negative news, that's not specific enough. Okay, time moved on, and really, unfortunately, news has become ever more negative until, you know, the situation we're in today with COVID. It all came together to me in the last couple of days, whereby I thought, I've got to write an article about this, because now people understand the problem of negative news, and more sites are starting to pop up, spreading positive news, because we're just being swamped with it. Now, going back to your point about why is it that this negative news is taking up so much of our airtime, it goes back to, as you say, our brains are wired to negative news from, you know, when millions of years ago when human sapiens started developing, always looking out for danger, putting 10 times more weight on something that looks negative to something that looks positive. But then, more recently, with the digital economy, the news being produced digitally, now the editors and the news proprietors can see that that negative news, anything bad in it, gets at least 10 times the clicks of any other article in the news. But they're going for it more and more and more. And just coincidentally, a media, when I was researching this article, a media article that I saw said that 2016 was the start of that. It's always been bad, but 2016 was when different events happened across the world that switched us to becoming more negative, and since then it's become worse and worse. It's great now to have a platform that people understand why it's been developed over the last 4 years, and they're paying more attention to it, because it's been very hard over the last 4 years. to get attention to it because, you know, positive news just doesn't get noticed. I travel a lot, so that's where I've always been passionate about recording, looking at things that are positive, and it gives you a much better outlook on life as well. I saw an idea whereby this was described as, you know, reducing your intake of negative news to going on a media diet. I really like that concept. Not that I like diets normally, but a media diet sounds very sensible to me.
Absolutely. I like the media diet concept as well. And, you know, it's hard to resist Nutella every time I walk past it, whether I'm on a diet or not. But my brother actually left Facebook many, many years ago because of that. So he just realized that every time he's been on Facebook, he felt really bad. And so he went like, why am I doing this? There's no, you know, it doesn't make me stop breathing, right? Actually, it makes my life better. So he just stopped it and, you know, hasn't missed it since.
I'm convinced of the importance of turning negatives into positives. I always look like, you know, like everybody else had negative experiences in my life. And the only way I've found to be able to get through them was to think, well, what have I learned from that? And what's positive? What can I take from that experience? I think it's more practical, actually, than spiritual as a person. I'm very, very practical about what works. And I've just come out of a webinar on well-being, because well-being is a really important category of ideas on IdeaSpies. And it's also very important now when everybody's facing so much uncertainty and many negative situations. You know, we've just got to pay attention to the fact that there are a lot of positive things out there that will help with our well-being. And that's what IdeaSpies, for example, is trying to show, that people can refer to them. And just like, I hope your brother actually looks at IdeaSpies, because he's the sort of person, and you're the sort of person it would appeal to. People who are curious, people who want to see the bright side, who don't always just want to complain about everything, because that gets you nowhere, complaining about something. You might as well look at changing it. Moving forward, sharing ideas that can make you feel better and make others feel better as well.
Lead the way, right? But you need to be aware of that every single day. It's quite hard. That's why I like the IdeaSpies website or the concept behind it, because it's a habit, right? It forms habit. And just last week, I spoke to the CTO of AgriWeb, and I pointed out that his company is actually on that on the IdeaSpies website, and he didn't know about it. So he said he's going to check it out. So that's really good. And you know, it also speaks to the hidden talents and the hidden opportunities that are, you know, as you said, not evenly distributed yet, but are certainly there around the globe. So I've never had a chief IdeaSpy on my podcast. So you're the first ever chief IdeaSpy that I talk to. So what does a day in the life of a chief IdeaSpy look like, Lynn?
Actually, you made a really interesting point, Andreas, about habits. I think it's very important, habits, to do things that you like doing as a habit. So every day I would, for example, start the day by looking out for positive ideas to share. Then I'd look at, we now have editors for the various idea categories on IdeaSpies, and I'd be supporting their ideas in terms of any ideas and innovations that they're putting up on IdeaSpies. Then I would be looking at how to further improve the platform so it can reach more people. And so, for example, over the last few days, I've been spending a lot of time with students from Macquarie University and the University of New South Wales. I've got six teams of students looking at improving IdeaSpies. And I'm giving them feedback on the ideas and suggestions that they're coming up with. And it's lovely to be involved with younger people who are finding it a really interesting experience to be doing this, to be involved in this area and doing something that is constructive, not just for myself, but for others as well. So a lot of it, and like with the person you just mentioned, a lot of what IdeaSpies is doing is paying it forward. So we're giving people and ideas and innovations publicity in a forum that's very, it's designed to be cut through. So it's not like a magazine article. It's a really concise description of what the idea or innovation is, with a striking image and an interesting headline that can have a lot of cut through. It takes up a lot of my time. I'm always thinking of how to do things better.
I certainly subscribe to what you just said. You know, there's always a chance to make things better. And it's also very close to the open source movement, which I'm a big subscriber in, right? So you share ideas. Mm-hmm. The open source model shares everything really, right? In computers or in IT, in the IT landscape, mostly source code. But it's the same concept, right? I have an idea, I put it into source code, and then I share it with others, and together we can make it better because we basically harvest the opportunity for synergies.
Now, could I just comment on that?
Absolutely.
The open source. Just coincidentally, an idea on IdeaSpaz from Paraguay has gone through the roof recently, and it's been put up by our dining editor, and it's an open source idea. It's over in Paraguay, where it's basically a platform, it's open source, that's been set up so people can help one another because the situation is pretty difficult over there. The whole situation is quite fascinating. I had so many people in Paraguay. Yeah, they're even in Spanish, and they're retweeting and sharing that idea as a very positive idea that's been developed over there, that's been put up by our dining editor who comes from that area. So that's what it's lovely just seeing all these ideas around the world and making more people aware of them. And so we're not, hopefully, I'm trying to create a situation where we're not reinventing the wheel. I love that saying, the future is already here. It's just not evenly distributed. So there are ideas all around the world that we can pick up in Australia and vice versa.
Oh, that was one of my next questions. So you answered the next question already. That's great. Thank you. You're not just very practical. You can also read minds and predict the future. That's great. That's exactly what you need on an IdeaSpaz website. Now, every great idea that is sustainable, I find, and I'm happy to discuss that with you, but my view is, you know, if you want to do something good for the world, you need a sustainable business model. What would be the business model behind IdeaSpaz, and how can organizations or people that want your help actually reach out and request your services? And there's a bit of a reason I'm asking this, because I totally agree with the point you made earlier, right? There's a lot of organizations and a lot of movements that wanna, you know, promote innovation, but sometimes it's just an idea. It's just not going anywhere. And so I wanted to get your view, basically, what would be the business model, and how can people and organizations reach out to you and you helping them actually with innovation?
That's an excellent question, Andres. Thank you for asking. I've recently set up an advisory board to help with answers to that. And very fortunately, we had our first face-to-face meeting before the shutdown, before we couldn't meet. So it's great to have set that board up, because there are some very influential people involved. But basically, I'm looking at five different areas, but it's very much the early stage, because, you know, IdeaSpaz has been developed over the last 4 years as a free platform. And as I said, it's up till now, it's been very hard to get noticed because of the concerns about lack of interest in things that are positive versus negative. However, now there is interest, a lot more interest. So the first potential way of making it sustainable is IdeaSpaz Enterprise. Now, that was suggested to me when I was on an accelerator program over a year ago to have a private version of IdeaSpaz for within organizations. Because I was told that it's a perfect model for getting ideas, because it's very simple to use and you can rate and comment on ideas. So I was told just to ask, where do ideas go in this organization? How are they rated? Because IdeaSpaz is a perfect model. So we've developed that. It's sitting there. I haven't actually did a small launch last year, but because of the increasingly negative situation, like that with the banking commission, put that on ice for a while and focused on developing the main site, the demonstration model, a free site, because there are ways that that could be improved to make it more scalable for the future and look more professional, which it does now. So that can be brought back onto the table. Now, in terms of doing that, as you well know, there's a lot of competition in that space. And IdeaSpaz really covers only the ideation part of it, and the rating of the idea. It doesn't cover the later development of that idea, albeit that the comments do come from the platform, and it's very easy to use. It's possible to offer that as an ideation platform if the organisation has the skills to be able to take it further, take the ideas further, or it's possible to collaborate with a group that has those sort of skills, like the group your organisation is obviously is a specialist in and does incredibly well. Yeah. So, but in its early stages, so I'm looking at that. Second one, I've been told, is to potentially come up with a separate category on Idea Spies for early ideas and charge for it. So similar to LinkedIn, to have two different memberships, a free membership and a paid membership. The paid membership would be to have your idea in that separate category and then get help with its development. Could be mentoring, could be help with expressing the idea, could be references for financing that's being considered. And the third one is sponsorship. I've been told Idea Spies has a very good positioning as being fun, but also being very socially responsible. Yeah. So looking at drawing up a short list of organisations that we would like to be associated with, where it would enhance that organisation's profile in terms of social responsibility and also innovation. It would need to be an organisation that was developing products, innovative products that were socially responsible. So we're developing a list of those organisations and then how they could be shown in relation to Idea Spies. I've got IT students at Macquarie University looking at that. That's one of the issues that they're looking at. How we would offer support through the site for any organisation that we thought would be suitable to align with. A fourth way is with museums. Museums are looking for an interactive display. It's already been suggested to a couple, but then we had the lockdown and wasn't able to get out to see the museums. But it's possible to have Idea Spies as an interactive display, yeah, within museums. Mm-hmm. Because it's all completely positive. All the ideas, and these 3,000 ideas are on there. Somebody could actually tab on in a showcase, Idea Spies in the showcase, and it could be shown in the museum, either you know, within the showcase or on a wall, which would look very interesting. And I've got, I've been to museums around the world, and I've seen how that could operate with other in other ways. So that's also a very early stage. And the fifth way is to get ideas from customers, because Idea Spies is so simple to use. It could be used to get ideas from customers. Very, very easily. It can be white labeled. Is that enough? There's five different ideas.
That's a lot, Lynn. That's a lot. That's more than enough. That's great.
Yeah. We've just got to figure out which ones we need to spend time on and how to package them.
What I like about those concepts is that it's not a department in an organization where they hire three people and everyone thinks those three people are going to do now the innovation, right? I believe in the open source movement and about sharing and synergies. And that's exactly, if I understand this correctly, what Idea Spies promotes as well. So now, if an organization wants to set up such a platform or such a movement because they get disrupted, and to be honest, I talk to many technology leaders across ANZ, and there's not one industry that doesn't get disrupted. The idea with them, basically, they reach out to you and they say, can I have a meeting with the chief idea spy? And then you would come in and basically gather requirements, have a workshop, set up a platform, train people. What would the process look like, Lynn?
Exactly as you described. Realistically, one of the points with idea spies is you don't need to train people, because the private site, for example, is based on the public site. The public site is the demonstration model, and anybody all over the world can post ideas on Idea Spies. Yeah? So it doesn't require training. It just requires the program to be announced and people to be made aware of it and then reinforced to participate in it. I think one of the good things about Idea Spies too is it's an easy thing to try. You can try it on the demonstration model on the public site, see how that works. And you can try it with a small group of staff and see how they react to it. It has been tested in the WordPress platform. It was originally on WordPress. It was tested then by KPMG, and it worked. It worked very well.
Okay, great.
But the platform has since been considerably upgraded.
Okay, great. So now, Lynn, if someone hears this and they want to get involved in Idea Spies, what's the next step for them?
Just to contact me, and or just talking by phone, because people generally want to know more about the background, just as you've asked, and are very happy. I'd be very happy to fill them in. Very happy. Okay. And share the research, as you say, that we've done. We've done a lot of research around the world about employees, staff, really wanting something like this, and the barriers to them not getting it, and the consequences of them not being able to contribute ideas, basically that they'll leave the organisation, that the best people will leave. Because the best people want to contribute ideas, and if they don't have that opportunity, it's a big loss. So in ROI terms, it makes a lot of sense to offer these platforms. Of course, that means that leaders need to change the way they operate. A lot of leaders like to, and you're still a tendency for many leaders to be autocratic, particularly with younger people now. You need a more democratic style, and to open up and allow particularly younger people to have the opportunity to put up ideas. And this is a platform like IdeaSpark is the perfect way to do that. I haven't mentioned as well, one of the aspects of it is that it offers psychological safety. That's a really big thing in terms of people putting up ideas. For example, when I first launched IdeaSpark, I was really worried because ideas go straight up, that people will be putting up negative things. It's absolutely the reverse. People are more concerned that their ideas aren't good enough. And so I need to encourage people. It's a good idea. Put it up. And I never get negative ideas posted. I've had very, very seldom, very, very seldom. It's the same in a work organization. People are reluctant to put up their ideas for everybody to see them. Because they think they might be criticised or something will be wrong, or something they'll put up something that's already happening. And IdeaSpy caters to that really well because you can put up an IdeaSpy name. Same on the public site, you put up an IdeaSpy name. You have the choice of having your real name there or an IdeaSpy name. And it doesn't look like you're hiding if you have an IdeaSpy name. It's just having fun. So there are lots of people put up fun names. It's about 50-50. Of course, you do ultimately know who's put up the idea because it comes back to your email address. But people feel reassured that their ideas are not necessarily attributed to them by everybody. And that's particularly useful for people lower down the organisation who not only think that their ideas might not be good enough, but who also could think that because of their low level in the organisation that they won't be really taken seriously. But you think about it, a lot of the people at the lower levels in organisations are the customer-facing people. So they're exactly the people you want to have ideas from. Absolutely. And IdeaSpy offers the opportunity to get those ideas in a very simple way.
Yes, and they're also involved in all those manual tasks that they could feed back and say, hey, why don't we write an Excel marker or why don't we do things differently, right? They do it on a daily basis, absolutely. I think this whole autocratic, hierarchical concept is going to go away sooner or later anyway. I've done a lot of research in the last few years about like high-performing organizations and their cultures. And our CEO, Jim Whitehurst, has written a book like The Open Organization. And he cites an example when he was the chief operating officer at Delta Airlines and then he came in as a CEO at Red Hat and he said, oh, I want this report. And then a week later, they would follow up and say, where's this report? And then the response was, Jim, we didn't think that's a good idea, so we just didn't do it. And he basically fell nearly off his chair, right, and said, like, where have I gone to? But I think what leaders need to realize is that it's like high communication flow and trust and like how your contributions are viewed is more important than one leader at the top making all the decisions, because it can't actually be, if you think about it logically, that 100 people have less good ideas than the one person at the top, right? So I totally, wholeheartedly subscribe to that.
Absolutely. And you mentioned trust, and trust is very important too. Well, negative publicity or negative news has gone sky high. Trust has gone basement basis low. And I've been told, for example, with IdeaSpy, it does project a lot of trust. And that's because it's associated with a lot of positive ideas and, you know, it's very consistent, has a very consistent message, and the people associated with it, if you look at the About page, and they're all volunteers, by the way, are people that you would really trust. They're all really, really good people. You think about it, would you call yourself an IdeaSpy if you're a bad person? Don't think so. Like, the name does not appeal to people who are negative. I'd like to encourage people to look at IdeaSpark, to join just as you have joined, to share the ideas so more people become aware of them, and then perhaps post some ideas yourself. Yeah, I'd love you to do that. And I'd also like anybody that's listening who can think of a way to cooperate with IdeaSpark in relation to any of the points that I've mentioned or any others. We're very, very open to cooperation and collaboration because we really, really want to spread the word and address that issue of the negative news. give positive news, positive ideas, positive innovations a lot more airplay than they're getting today.
Thank you, Lynn, for coming on the show, the chief idea spies of ideaspies.com. Hope you liked it. Talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening, and don't forget to subscribe and submit feedback and suggestions on podcast.andreaspanner.com.